Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
Time. There's nothing more valuable. It's what drives everyone to make the most of every moment. We celebrate living large in the now, in a city where time disappears. We create experiences that electrify the soul and memories that will last forever. We go big, we go all night, and here, everyone is invited. So get loose and get loud.
This is Circa. You'll have the time of your life.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Hello and welcome to the Arash Markazi Show, presented by the Sporting Tribune on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio in Southern California, 98.5 The Bet in Las Vegas, and the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760 in Hawaii. A lot to get into here on a Thursday, so let's not waste any time. Let's head out and bring in our main man for the Sporting Tribune, Brandon Deutsch. Brandon, how are you doing, my friend?
Great, Arash. Lakers just keep on winning. It's a good time right now in LA, and even the Clippers found a way to win, and we'll see what happens with them, but that was a much needed win.
Yeah, let's get into the Lakers first, because that is the team that you've been attracting, and really, listen, I would love for you to kind of like call the shots there, because if they had listened to your words, Brandon, and played the lineup that you love and played the guys that you love, maybe that they're not in this play-in tournament situation. But that being said, they have won now 5 games in a row. They are trending in the right direction. They are now 2-0 on their current road trip. Following, again, you would normally think maybe, and we didn't talk to you about this last night, so we'd love to get your thoughts. Following, you know, when you have a back-to-back and that second game following a double OT win in Milwaukee, very emotional game, one of those games that could, you know, certainly draining. They won that game. So it would have actually not been shocking if they would have come out tonight and not been at full strength, had a letdown game. That was not the case. So following one of their best wins of the season, coming back from 19 down on the road against Milwaukee without LeBron James in double overtime, they go on the road and beat the Memphis Grizzlies. Again, they won 5 straight, 2-0 on the current road trip. Brandon, this is sort of the way that you thought that they would play earlier in the season. They finally turned the corner, a little bit similar to last season, where they kind of like flipped the switch on late as they're going into the postseason. Your thoughts on the game last night, but also just the way that this team is playing right now?
Yeah, I mean, they're playing great offensively. And that was a big thing last year. It was on the defensive end that they really had to get going. Jared Vanderbilt was a big part of it. But this team has moxie. They really do, Arash. And that's important in big games. Now, I know they can't beat Denver and Sacramento, at least yet. Part of that is Jared Vanderbilt not being there, being able to lock down a guy like Jamal Murray or Gabe Vincent, right? They literally signed Gabe Vincent to shoot threes and guard Jamal Murray in the playoffs. Like, that was like the legit only reason why they saw him, guard him in the finals, and we're like, okay, he did a better job than any of our guards, so we'll sign him. He's coming back soon. Vanderbilt's still TBD, but hopefully he comes back by the playoffs. You know, they're in an interesting situation, Arash, because same record last year, they would be 4 seed right now. You know, if it was last year's standings, but the West continues to get better. Rockets have won 10 in a row. They're playing Rui Hachimura, and I'd love to see him continue to be a top option on this team, because he's really efficient and he finds ways to score. And, you know, the team just is clicking on all the right cylinders at the right time, right? And the Clippers are going in the opposite direction. So I think you have a tale of two cities within one, right? A tale of two teams within one city, basically, right now.
What do you think was the turning point for this team? Because, again, they have not been 100% healthy this season. A lot of the times they have not played the starting lineups and the lineups that you have liked. For them to kind of go on this streak right now, and again, by the way, like the perfect time. Like, you don't want them to, you know, hit their hot streak in December like the Clippers did. And, again, we'll get into them in a moment. But what do you like about the way they're playing right now? And what was the turning point for you where, again, like whether it's the date on the calendar, we're going into the stretch run of the season here. What was the turning point, you think, for this team?
The Celtics game. Yeah, that was the big turning point. No LeBron James, expected to get blown out against the fully healthy, you know, super team, and they go in and they win. And that kind of changed, because they were hovering around 500 at the time. And that kind of changed, like, okay, yeah, they can do this without LeBron. I think it gave the team more confidence, where LeBron can now sit certain games and they win, like the Milwaukee game twice, where D'Angelo Russell stepped up the first time and the second time in the second half. But Austin Reeves, in the double overtime, really helped them get that win against Milwaukee. Just knowing they could win that game against Boston and have a chance to really go in and beat teams without their star player, LeBron James, which is something they hadn't been able to do in the past. But now these guys have developed so much, where Rui Hachimura is a really great player. Austin Reeves is a really great player. D'Angelo Russell is a really great player. Obviously, Anthony Davis is a superstar. So even without LeBron, they're able to stay in games. And something they have this year, and that I saw toward the end of last year, didn't show up for a while, was the ability to just never be out of a game. They think they can win any game, even if they're down 40 points. And that is just unrelenting confidence. They've had guys step up in big moments. They kind of know what the stakes are. And I think that's a team that's dangerous to anyone. Now, again, it'll be super difficult to get out of the play-in, let alone win a series, because Sacramento is the likely 8 or 7 seed, right? And even if the Lakers eclipse a Phoenix or Sacramento or something toward the end of the year, they're still going to have to play, you know, one of those teams, and probably Sacramento. And nobody wants to play the Rockets right now, even though I trust the Lakers to beat the Rockets. I think they just match up very well against them in a play-in game. But again, Warriors not worried about either in that first 9-10 game if they do get 9. But we're looking at it, Arash, Denver as the one seed, right, or close to it. It looks like their remaining schedule is a little bit easier than Oklahoma City. So you're looking at, do they play Denver in the first round? Is that what anybody wants?
Like, no.
Exactly. Well, Nick Wright says he wants to play Denver in the first round, which is just pretty crazy to me. But I would prefer if Denver gets a run for their money with another team before the Lakers have to play them.
To your point, and again, this is why, Brandon, you're so great with the numbers and you have a great memory. The Lakers were 24-25 going into that road game against the Boston Celtics. They win that game without LeBron James. They get to 500, and they've been on a hot streak ever since. Right now, they are 41-32 coming off of that win last night against the Memphis Grizzlies. Again, 5 straight, 2-0 on their current road trip. Next up is the Pacers on Friday, Indiana. Then they go to Brooklyn, to Toronto, to Washington. Listen, so that I just mapped out their next 4 games. What, I mean, they've already began this big road trip 2-0. What do you think will be their record following the road trip? Again, just those 6 games. And what would be a successful trip for you?
You know, just knowing the Lakers over the past few years, I think they'll drop one of those games, even though they're supposed to win all of them. I mean, I think it's probably Indiana that they lose to in Indiana.
Really, really quick, Brandon, I was surprised to note, and you probably knew this, this is their first, you know, 5-game
win streak in 2 years, right?
That's like, amazing, right?
I was reading about that too, because I was thinking about last year's team, and they didn't sweep anybody, right? So they really never went on a 5-game winning streak toward the end of last year. Pretty incredible. It'd be great if they get to 6. If they get to 6, they're going to win out on the road trip. I don't see Brooklyn beating them. I see Indiana beating them. Because Indiana really wants to, you know, they're in competition for seeding in the Eastern Conference. They had a really bad game last night where they lost, believed to a very bad team. I forgot who they played, but it was a game they should have won. And Tyrese Haliburton was horrible. So, you know, he's going to have 40 points and 10 assists against the Lakers. And you know, that's a team that really is dangerous against the Lakers, not in terms of matchup, but in terms of the way they play now without Jared Vanderbilt, which is high-paced offense.
Really quick, Brandon, just because you brought it up, the Bulls not only beat the Pacers, they blew them out 125-99.
So you know the Pacers are probably going to pick up a W against the 5 win-in-a-row Lakers. That's just kind of how the season's gone. That's a tough game tomorrow night. That really is for the Lakers. If they can get through that one, I'm assuming Davis and LeBron both play that game.
Yeah.
And they're fully healthy. They'll win 9 in a row around then, which is going to be good for them. Because they really, I mean, they know the stakes. They know at minimum they need to be 9-3 over their last 11 games. They're already 2-0 on the last, you know, I think they have 9 or 10 games remaining, to really eclipse a team, because Sacramento, even though they're one game ahead of the Lakers, they're effectively 2 games, right? Because they own the tiebreaker. So if Phoenix continues to win and you're hoping Sacramento loses some games, and you're like, okay, well, you need to finish a full game over the Kings to eclipse them, right? Because I think the Kings are not a good team against other teams except the Lakers, which is weird. You know, they seem, any team can beat the Kings except the Lakers, which is really weird, you know? So I don't know. I think they'll be fine on this road trip.
It's so interesting because I have no issue with the Lakers not being able to beat a Denver Nuggets team, which is the defending champions, the best team in the league, the best player in the league. The Sacramento Kings thing really bugs me because they're the 7th seed right now. They're in the play-in tournament along with the Lakers, you know, and again, there's this fluctuation with the Mavericks, the Kings, and the Suns right now for that 6th spot and 7 and 8. But yeah, I mean, you've talked about it just being so weird that the for whatever reason that the Kings have swept the Lakers in the season series for the first time since 2015-2016. To recap sort of where they are in the standings, the Lakers kind of like have widened their gap over the Warriors in the 9-10 spot. They now have a 2.5 game lead above the Warriors. This Houston run that the Rockets have been on, when where they've won 10 straight, Brandon, put that into context, and would you be surprised, and this would be so crazy to think, just a month ago, or just like even at the beginning of the season, what are the odds that the Rockets are the 10th seed and not the Golden State Warriors?
I don't think it's just a possibility. I think it's probably going to happen.
Wow.
I think they're playing better basketball. Just looking at their schedule, I mean, they beat Oklahoma City last night, which was a huge win. Oklahoma City was still going for their one spot. I don't think they play the Lakers one more time, which is actually going to be a really big game. I think they play them toward the end of the year, like one of those last games. Looking at their schedule right now, they play Utah. Utah's not going to beat them. They play Dallas. That's maybe the biggest threat over their next few games.
Yeah.
In Minnesota is another big threat. They have a few tough games. Warriors, they'll beat the Warriors. Heat, you know, Mavericks again. And then, you know, you start going down their schedule. That might be – or no, they don't play the Lakers again. I thought they did. They play the Clippers. They play the Clippers. That's who they play the last game of the season. I thought it was the Lakers for whatever reason. But thankfully, the Lakers beat them all when they were bad, right?
Yeah, so exactly.
They didn't get to play them when they're on this win streak. The Warriors play them twice, and the Clippers play them once, right? So – or the Warriors play them once, and the Clippers play them once. But the Blazers, like, they have a decently easy schedule the rest of the way. I think Golden State's going to have trouble. I know they beat Orlando last night, but let's be real. Orlando's fraudulent. We know they'll lose in the first round as good as they've played. I mean, they're still young. There's nothing against that. They've had a great year. But Golden State is the team that I think the dynasty's over for them.
Yeah, I mean, and I really thought that a year ago when the Lakers beat them in the second round, and they had that one shining moment, and we were together like at a sports bar in Manhattan Beach. Game 7, this is to your favorite point. The moxie, again, you could really see in that game 7 in Sacramento, the Warriors against the Kings, where the experience and the history and just having been there for Steph Curry and Klay Thompson and Draymond Green and Steve Kerr, like having been there, they beat the Kings in that game 7. That being said, you know, when they lost to the Lakers in round 2, I thought that was the end of the run. However, the way that they played at the beginning of the season – and what they've showed at times this season, again, not that I thought that they were going to go on some kind of a run, certainly surprised that they may not even be in the top 10 in the West. They may miss out on the playoffs. One more thing to that point. Ime Udoka, you were very high on him, even when he went through what he went through in terms of him being removed or leaving as the head coach of the Boston Celtics. You like said that if you were the GM of a team, like you would hire this man. I think you even said that if the Boston Celtics had him, they may have won a championship. What is it about him that A, makes him such a good coach, and B, it just seems like at the second half of the season, again, going on that run, 10 straight wins so far, and this team, again, to your point, may surpass Golden State in the play-in tournament. What makes him such a good coach?
Yeah, I thought it was an excellent hire at the time. I was one of the very few people that thought that. Just because of the situation. In fact, if I was Boston, I would put I know there were some crazy things, but I would have put my pride aside and be like, do you really want to win a championship? Like, yeah. You know, like I know there was some stuff that went on, but I think the Celtics have 18 rings if they keep Ime Udoka. I really do. Whether that's, you know, at the end of this year, they get an 18, maybe they will win with Joe Mazzulla or last year. I think they win last year if they had kept Ime Udoka. I think he's that great of a coach. King of in-game adjustments, really. And as the season goes on, his teams just get better and better and better. Every team he's coached so far, if you look at the Boston Celtics that went to the finals a few years ago, they were 11-1 in March. And what are the Rockets in March? 11-1. I'm not saying the Rockets are going to go to the finals, but what I'm saying, I mean, they're far too young. I think it would be a fool for anybody. You'd be a fool to say like, oh, they're going to go to the finals despite their run. This is a team that's reminded me a lot of that 2020 Suns team, Arash, that needed Chris Paul. They kind of went on that run in the bubble. They weren't quite there yet. Didn't get out of that, you know, 10 spot to qualify for the rest of the, you know, Orlando, you know, ring or whatever that the Lakers were. The Lakers were the best team. That's a whole different conversation. But the next year they were excellent. And I think Houston has a big chance to go on a run and have an Oklahoma City type of resurgence with 50 wins next year, which is only worse for the Lakers, right? Because everyone's just getting better.
All right. Let's switch gears real quick before we close out on the Clippers. The Clippers finally break their losing streak, but they did so in very controversial fashion in terms of the way that game finished out. And even the official review following the game said that that should have been a foul. Anyways. At the end of the day, a result is a result. The Clippers go into Philadelphia. They beat the 76ers to begin their road trip, stop their bleeding momentarily. We'll see how that goes. I mean, they are still the four seed. Good for them. But just that 4-5 matchup for them is going to be tough with the Pelicans. But anyways, sometimes, and as they say this in football, sometimes you just got to get points on the board, whether that's a field goal or whatever. And just stop the bleeding. The Clippers going to Philadelphia win that game. How big is it for them? And how do you see them closing out the season?
First off, I think it's huge. I think it's a huge win because when a team is so used to losing and vice versa, so used to winning, you really need the opposite to really turn it around or, you know, not turn it around, right? Like once Houston loses a game, you know, it's going to be the wheels will fall off a little bit. Yeah. And the Clippers, they needed that win. They're a streaky team. Kawhi Leonard is still Kawhi Leonard, eligible for All-NBA this season, first time in 7 years, which is crazy, seven years, which is insane. Like he played 65 games, which is a miracle. And you got to capitalize on the health, right? Like this is still a team that I don't care how great the Pelicans are playing. I trust the experience. Like give me Kawhi Leonard in that series, even though they have trouble beating the Pelicans, I still think they could win a series. Now I don't think they're going to win the championship, but they are a team that over these last 10 games or whatever, they could get hot and go on a mini run, whether that be a Western Conference Finals appearance or something like that. They certainly have the talent, but it was a much needed win, Arash, even though I was joking, the refs gave him the Lakers treatment in that at the end of that game, even though the Lakers kind of got, they didn't get the refs on their side the night before, but they usually have the refs a little bit on their side.
Okay, we cannot say what Kelly Oubre told officials, but as someone who loves this NBA Twitter just as much, if not more than I do, top five moment, again, Google it or look it up. What Kelly Oubre Jr. said to each and every official. And by the way, he made it a point that they all heard him. Top five moment, the number one moment.
Not number one, but he's really top five. That was pretty funny. And there's nothing they could do because they knew they were wrong, too. And they just kind of, you know,
they're the end of the game. So what are you going to do? You're going to throw me out? Like, you might find me, but find me. I mean, that.
Oh, he's going to get fined for sure. He'll get fined for sure. 100%. I'll get fined.
Yeah. I thought, again, not as visually impactful as Pat Bev taking a camera from a courtside photographer, because that is an all-time meme. But literally, because you could read his lips because he was saying it. And again, we can't say it on the air, so you're going to have to look it up. There are three officials, of course, and he went to each and every official and told that official the exact same thing. Again, top five moment, like easy. I think is in the conversation for one, just because it was so great. And again, what are you going to do to me? It's the game is over. So, you know.
Exactly. The Pat Bev Camber one is just an all-time moment. I mean, that was the funny. And the LeBron throwing a tantrum on the court after that missed call. And that was one of the greatest, like, Twitter days in history right there.
100%. You know? But, you know, to your point with the moxie that the Lakers have, and it's a word that you've used, and I love it because this is why I think could potentially, I'm not saying that they will, could potentially go on a similar run that they did a year ago. Because again, when you come back from 20 down in the fourth quarter to beat the Clippers, you come back from 19 down to beat the Bucks in Milwaukee, you come, you beat the Celtics without LeBron, you beat the Milwaukee Bucks at Crypto. So again, they've beaten the Milwaukee Bucks twice this season without LeBron James. So we've seen glimpses of what these other guys can do. We know LeBron James. We know Anthony Davis. But we've seen games this season where if it's not Austin Reeves, it's D'Angelo Russell or Rui Hachimura. I mean, they have guys who can go off and really do well. Brandon, we're going to have you back on tomorrow, hopefully, to talk about the opening day and all that good stuff. You're the best. Let's leave it there for now. When we come back, we'll bring in our good friend Grant Mona to talk about the Clippers a little bit more. When we come back right here on the Mightier 1090 in Southern California, the Bet in Las Vegas, and the Hawaii Sports Radio Network.
We'll be right back with the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Time. There's nothing more valuable. It's what drives everyone to make the most of every moment. We celebrate living large in the now, in a city where time disappears. We create experiences that electrify the soul and memories that will last forever. We go big, we go all night, and here everyone is invited. So get loose and get loud.
This is Circa. You'll have the time of your life.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Hello and welcome to the Arash Markazi Show, presented by the Sporting Tribune on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio in Southern California, 98.5 The Bet in Las Vegas, and the Hawaii Sports Radio Network, 95.1 FM and AM 760 in Hawaii. A lot to get into here on a Thursday, so let's not waste any time. Let's head out and bring in our main man for the Sporting Tribune, Brandon Deutsch. Brandon, how are you doing, my friend?
Great, Arash. Lakers just keep on winning. It's a good time right now in LA, and even the Clippers found a way to win, and we'll see what happens with them, but that was a much needed win.
Yeah, let's get into the Lakers first, because that is the team that you've been attracting, and really, listen, I would love for you to kind of like call the shots there, because if they had listened to your words, Brandon, and played the lineup that you love and played the guys that you love, maybe that they're not in this play-in tournament situation. But that being said, they have won now five games in a row. They are trending in the right direction. They are now 2-0 on their current road trip. Following, again, you would normally think maybe, and we didn't talk to you about this last night, so we'd love to get your thoughts. Following, you know, when you have a back-to-back and that second game following a double OT win in Milwaukee, very emotional game, one of those games that could, you know, certainly draining. They won that game. So it would have actually not been shocking if they would have come out tonight and not been at full strength, had a letdown game. That was not the case. So following one of their best wins of the season, coming back from 19 down on the road against Milwaukee without LeBron James in double overtime, they go on the road and beat the Memphis Grizzlies again. They've won five straight, 2-0 on the current road trip. Brandon, this is sort of the way that you thought that they would play earlier in the season. They finally turned the corner, a little bit similar to last season, where they kind of like flipped the switch on late as they're going into the postseason. Your thoughts on the game last night, but also just the way that this team is playing right now?
Yeah, I mean, they're playing great offensively. And that was a big thing last year. It was on the defensive end that they really had to get going. Jared Vanderbilt was a big part of it. But this team has moxie. They really do, Arash. And that's important in big games. Now, I know they can't beat Denver and Sacramento, at least yet. Part of that is Jared Vanderbilt not being there, being able to lock down a guy like Jamal Murray or Gabe Vincent, right? They literally signed Gabe Vincent to shoot threes and guard Jamal Murray in the playoffs. Like, that was like the legit only reason why they saw him guard him in the finals, and we're like, okay, he did a better job than any of our guards, so we'll sign him. He's coming back soon. Vanderbilt's still TBD, but he hopefully comes back by the playoff. You know, they're in an interesting situation, Arash, because same record last year, they would be four seed right now. You know, if it was last year's standings, but the West continues to get better. Rockets have won 10 in a row. They're playing Rui Hachimura, and I'd love to see him continue to be a top option on this team because he's really efficient and he finds ways to score. And, you know, the team just is clicking on all the right cylinders at the right time, right? And the Clippers are going in the opposite direction. So I think you have a tale of two cities within one, right? A tale of two teams within one city, basically, right now.
What do you think was the turning point for this team? Because, again, they have not been 100% healthy this season. A lot of the times they have not played the matchups, the starting lineups and the lineups that you have liked. For them to kind of go on this streak right now, and again, by the way, like the perfect time. Like, you don't want them to, you know, hit their hot streak in December like the Clippers did. And, again, we'll get into them in a moment. But what do you like about the way they're playing right now, and what was the turning point for you where, again, like, whether it's the date on the calendar, we're going into the stretch run of the season here, what was the turning point you think for this team?
The Celtics game. That was the big turning point. No LeBron James, expected to get blown out against the fully healthy, you know, super team, and they go in and they win, and that kind of changed because they were hovering around 500 at the time. Yeah. And that kind of changed, like, okay, yeah, they can do this without LeBron. I think it gave the team more confidence where LeBron can now sit certain games and they win, like the Milwaukee game twice where D'Angelo Russell stepped up the first time and the second time in the second half. But Austin Reeves in the double overtime really helped them get that win against Milwaukee. Just knowing they could win that game against Boston and have a chance to really go in and beat teams without their star player, LeBron James, which is something they hadn't been able to do in the past. But now these guys have developed so much. For Rui Hachimura is a really great player. Austin Reeves is a really great player. D'Angelo Russell is a really great player. Obviously, Anthony Davis is a superstar. So even without LeBron, they're able to stay in games. And something they have this year and that I saw toward the end of last year, it didn't show up for a while, was the ability to just never be out of a game. They think they can win any game, even if they're down 40 points. And that is just unrelenting confidence. They've had guys step up in big moments. They kind of know what the stakes are. And I think that's a team that's dangerous to anyone. Now, again, it'll be super difficult to get out of the play-in, yet alone win a series, because Sacramento is the likely 8 or 7 seed, right? And even if the Lakers eclipse a Phoenix or Sacramento or something toward the end of the year, they're still going to have to play, you know, one of those teams, and probably Sacramento. And nobody wants to play the Rockets right now, even though I trust the Lakers to beat the Rockets. I think they just match up very well against them in a play-in game. But again, Warriors not worried about either in that first 9-10 game if they do get 9. But we're looking at it, Arash, Denver as the one seed, right, or close to it. It looks like their remaining schedule is a little bit easier than Oklahoma City. So you're looking at, do they play Denver in the first round? Is that what anybody wants?
Like, no.
Well, Nick Wright says he wants to play Denver in the first round, which is just pretty crazy to me. But I would prefer if Denver gets a run for their money with another team before the Lakers have to play them.
To your point, and again, this is why, Brandon, you're so great with the numbers and you have a great memory. The Lakers were 24-25 going into that road game against the Boston Celtics. They win that game without LeBron James. They get to 500, and they've been on a hot streak ever since. Right now, they are 41-32 coming off of that win last night against the Memphis Grizzlies. Again, 5 straight, 2-0 on their current road trip. Next up is the Pacers on Friday, Indiana. Then they go to Brooklyn, to Toronto, to Washington. Listen, so that I just mapped out their next 4 games. What, I mean, they've already began this big road trip 2-0. What do you think will be their record following the road trip? Again, just those six games. And what would be a successful trip for you?
You know, just knowing the Lakers over the past few years, I think they'll drop one of those games, even though they're supposed to win all of them. I mean, I think it's probably Indiana that they lose to in Indiana. Because Indiana,
really, really quick, Brandon, I was surprised to note, and you probably knew this, this is their first, you know, five-game win streak
in 2 years, right?
That's amazing, like, right?
I was reading about that, too. Because I was thinking about last year's team, and they didn't sweep anybody, right? So they really never went on a five-game winning streak toward the end of last year. Pretty incredible. It'd be great if they get to six. If they get to six, they're going to win out on the road trip. I don't see Brooklyn beating them. I see Indiana beating them. Because Indiana really wants to, you know, they're in competition for seeding in the Eastern Conference. They had a really bad game last night where they lost, believed to a very bad team. I forgot who they played, but it was a game they should have won. And Tyrese Halliburton was horrible. So, you know, he's going to have 40 points and 10 assists against the Lakers. And you know, that's a team that really is dangerous against the Lakers, not in terms of matchup, but in terms of the way they play now without Jared Vanderbilt, which is really high-paced offense.
Really quick, Brandon, just because you brought it up, the Bulls not only beat the Pacers, they blew them out 125-99.
Yes. So you know the Pacers are probably going to pick up a W against the five win-in-a-row Lakers. That's just kind of how the season's gone. That's a tough game tomorrow night. That really is for the Lakers. If they can get through that one, I'm assuming Davis and LeBron both play that game.
Yeah.
And they're fully healthy. They'll win nine in a row around then, which is going to be good for them. Because they really, I mean, they know the stakes. They know at minimum they need to be 9-3 over their last 11 games. They're already 2-0 on the last, you know, I think they have 9 or 10 games remaining. To really eclipse a team, because Sacramento, even though they're one game ahead of the Lakers, they're effectively two games, right? Because they own the tiebreaker. So if Phoenix continues to win and you're hoping Sacramento loses some games, then you're like, okay, well, you need to finish a full game over the Kings to eclipse them, right? Because I think the Kings are not a good team against other teams except the Lakers, which is weird. You know, they seem any team can beat the Kings except the Lakers, which is really weird, you know? So I don't know. I think they'll be fine on this road trip.
It's so interesting because I have no issue with the Lakers not being able to beat a Denver Nuggets team, which is the defending champions, the best team in the league, the best player in the league. The Sacramento Kings thing really bugs me because they're the seventh seed right now. They're in the play-in tournament along with the Lakers, you know, and again, there's this fluctuation with the Mavericks, the Kings, and the Suns right now for that sixth spot and seven and eight, but yeah, I mean, you've talked about it just being so weird that for whatever reason, that the Kings have swept the Lakers in the season series for the first time since 2015-2016. To recap sort of where they are in the standings, the Lakers kind of like have widened their gap over the Warriors in the 9-10 spot. They now have a 2.5 game lead above the Warriors. This Houston run that the Rockets have been on, where they have won 10 straight, Brandon, put that into context. And would you be surprised? And this would be so crazy to think just a month ago, or just like even at the beginning of the season. What are the odds that the Rockets are the 10 seed and not the Golden State Warriors?
I don't think it's just a possibility. I think it's probably going to happen.
Wow.
I think they're playing better basketball. Just looking at their schedule, I mean, they beat Oklahoma City last night, which was a huge win. Oklahoma City was still going for their one spot. I don't think they play the Lakers one more time, which is actually going to be a really big game. I think they play them toward the end of the year, like one of those last games. Looking at their schedule right now, they play Utah. Utah's not going to beat them. They play Dallas. That's maybe the biggest threat over their next few games.
Yeah.
In Minnesota is another big threat. They have a few tough games. Warriors, they'll beat the Warriors. Heat, you know, Mavericks again. And then, you know, you start going down their schedule. That might be – or no, they don't play the Lakers again. I thought they did. The Clippers. They play the Clippers. That's who they play the last game of the season. I thought it was the Lakers for whatever reason, but thankfully the Lakers beat them all when they were bad, right?
Yeah, so exactly.
They didn't get to play them when they're on this win streak. The Warriors play them twice, and the Clippers play them once, right? So, or the Warriors play them once, and the Clippers play them once. But the Blazers, like, they have a decently easy schedule the rest of the way. I think Golden State's going to have trouble. I know they beat Orlando last night, but let's be real. Orlando's fraudulent. We know they'll lose in the first round as good as they've played. I mean, they're still young. There's nothing against that. They've had a great year. But Golden State is the team that I think the dynasty's over for them.
Yeah, I mean, and I really thought that a year ago when the Lakers beat them in the second round, and they had that one shining moment, and we were together at a sports bar in Manhattan Beach. Game seven, this is to your favorite point, the moxie. Again, you could really see in that game seven in Sacramento, the Warriors against the Kings, where the experience and the history and just having been there for Steph Curry and Klay Thompson and Draymond Green and Steve Kerr, like having been there, they beat the Kings in that game seven. That being said, you know, when they lost to the Lakers in round two, I thought that was the end of the run. However, the way that they played at the beginning of the season and what they've showed at times this season, again, not that I thought that they were going to go on some kind of a run, certainly surprised that they may not even be in the top 10 in the West. They may miss out on the playoffs. One more thing to that point. Ime Udoka, you were very high on him, even when he went through what he went through in terms of him being removed or leaving as the head coach of the Boston Celtics. You like said that if you were the GM of a team, like you would hire this man. I think you even said that if the Boston Celtics had him, they may have won a championship. What is it about him that A, makes him such a good coach, and B, it just seems like at the second half of the season, again, going on that run, 10 straight wins so far, and this team, again, to your point, may surpass Golden State in the play-in tournament. What makes him such a good coach?
Yeah, I thought it was an excellent hire at the time. I was one of the very few people that exactly. thought that. Just because of the situation. In fact, if I was Boston, I would put I know there were some crazy things, but I would have put my pride aside and be like, do you really want to win a championship? I know there was some stuff that went on, but I think the Celtics have 18 rings if they keep Ime Udoka. I really do. Whether that's, at the end of this year, they get an 18. Maybe they will win with Joe Mazzulla or last year. I think they win last year if they had kept Ime Udoka. I think he's that great of a coach. King of in-game adjustments, really. And as the season goes on, his teams just get better and better and better. Every team he's coached so far, if you look at the Boston Celtics that went to the finals a few years ago, they were 11-1 in March. And what are the Rockets in March? 11-1. I'm not saying the Rockets are going to go to the finals, but what I'm saying, I mean, they're far too young. I think it would be a fool for anybody. You'd be a fool to say like, oh, they're going to go to the finals despite their run. This is a team that's reminded me a lot of that 2020 Suns team, Arash, that needed Chris Paul. They kind of went on that run in the bubble. They weren't quite there yet. Didn't get out of that, nine spot, 10 spot to qualify for the rest of the, Orlando, ring or whatever that the Lakers won. The Lakers were the best team. That's a whole different conversation. But the next year they were excellent. And I think Houston has a big chance to go on a run and have an Oklahoma City type of resurgence with 50 wins next year, which is only worse for the Lakers, right? Because everyone's just getting better.
All right, let's switch gears real quick before we close out on the Clippers. The Clippers finally break their losing streak, but they did so in very controversial fashion in terms of the way that game finished out. And even the official review following the game said that that should have been a foul. Anyways. At the end of the day, a result is a result. The Clippers go into Philadelphia. They beat the 76ers to begin their road trip, stop their bleeding momentarily. We'll see how that goes. I mean, they are still the four seed. Good for them. But just that 4-5 matchup for them is going to be tough with the Pelicans. But anyways, sometimes, and as they say this in football, sometimes you just got to get points on the board, whether that's a field goal or whatever. And just stop the bleeding. The Clippers going to Philadelphia win that game. How big is it for them? And how do you see them closing out the season?
First off, I think it's huge. I think it's a huge win because when a team is so used to losing and vice versa, so used to winning, you really need the opposite to really turn it around or not turn it around, right? Like once Houston loses a game, it's going to be the wheels will fall off a little bit. Yeah. And the Clippers, they needed that win. They're a streaky team. Kawhi Leonard is still Kawhi Leonard, eligible for All-NBA this season, first time in 7 years, which is crazy, seven years, which is insane. Like, he played 65 games, which is a miracle. And you got to capitalize on the health, right? Like, this is still a team that I don't care how great the Pelicans are playing, I trust the experience. Like, give me Kawhi Leonard in that series. Even though they have trouble beating the Pelicans, I still think they could win a series. Now, I don't think they're going to win the championship, but they are a team that over these last 10 games or whatever, they could get hot and go on a mini run, whether that be a Western Conference Finals appearance or something like that. They certainly have the talent, but it was a much needed win, Arash, even though, I was joking, the refs gave him the Lakers treatment in that at the end of that game, even though the Lakers kind of got, they didn't get the refs on their side the night before, but they usually have the refs a little bit on their side.
Okay, we cannot say what Kelly Oubre told officials, but as someone who loves this NBA Twitter just as much, if not more, than I do, top five moment, again, Google it or look it up, what Kelly Oubre Jr. said to each and every official, and by the way, he made it a point that they all heard him. Top five moment, the number one moment?
Not number one, but easily top five. That was pretty funny. And there's nothing they could do because they knew they were wrong too.
Game. So what are you going to do? You're going to throw me out? Like, you might find me, but find me. I mean, that.
Oh, he's going to get fined for sure. He'll get fined for sure. 100%. I'll get fined.
Yeah. I thought, again, not as visually impactful as Pat Bev taking a camera from a courtside photographer, because that is an all-time meme. But literally, because you could read his lips because he was saying it. And again, we can't say it on the air, so you're going to have to look it up. There are three officials, of course, and he went to each and every official and told that official the exact same thing. Again, top five moment, like, easy. I think it's in the conversation for one, just because it was so great. And again, what are you going to do to me? It's the game is over, so, you know.
Exactly. The Pat Bev camera one is just an all-time moment. I mean, that was the funny. And the LeBron throwing a tantrum on the court after that missed call. And that was one of the greatest, like, Twitter days in history right there.
100%. But, you know, to your point with the moxie that the Lakers have, and it's a word that you've used, and I love it because this is why I think could potentially, I'm not saying that they will, could potentially go on a similar run that they did a year ago. Because again, when you come back from 20 down in the fourth quarter to beat the Clippers, you come back from 19 down to beat the Bucks in Milwaukee, you beat the Celtics without LeBron. You beat the Milwaukee Bucks at Crypto. So again, they've beaten the Milwaukee Bucks twice this season without LeBron James. So we've seen glimpses of what these other guys can do. We know LeBron James. We know Anthony Davis. But we've seen games this season where if it's not Austin Reeves, it's D'Angelo Russell or Rui Hachimura. I mean, they have guys who can go off and really do well. Brandon, we're going to have you back on tomorrow, hopefully, to talk about the opening day and all that good stuff. You're the best. Let's leave it there for now. When we come back, we'll bring in our good friend Grant Mona to talk about the Clippers a little bit more. When we come back right here on the Mightier 1090 in Southern California, the Bet in Las Vegas, and the Hawaii Sports Radio Network.
This is the Arash Markazi Show on the Mightier 1090 ESPN Radio.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.